this one as well.
Thank you. I'm Wei Zhang, and I thank the organizer for this opportunity to talk in this symposium. And now I would like to introduce my co-authors. Zhenghua Liu is my PhD student, and Thomas Stinghaus is my doctoral advisor. So right here we have three academic generations obviously are influenced by Langmuir equation. So today my talk, first I'm going to introduce you a very simple example how to derive Langmuir equation in aqueous system. Then I will talk about three examples we have done in the past in terms of using Langmuir equation in our research. I conclude my talk with a summary. So in aqueous systems, and let's assume there's a surface adsorption site that's occupied by exchangeable water molecule and also the sorbate ion. And we know that Langmuir equation was originally developed for the gas adsorption. So here I just gave a very brief example about how we derive this in for the gaseous system. Here I give an example on how to derive this in aqueous system. And the previous speaker gave a wonderful example of how to differentiate adsorption and ion exchange. So here I just give an example of how actually assume it's an exchange reaction. So we can write the exchange reaction. Now we can write the reaction constant in terms of the activity of the adsorbate on the surface and the water molecule in the aqueous phase, and divided by the activity of the adsorbed water molecule on the solid surface and the M in the aqueous phase. And let's assume it's a dilute system. So the activity of water in the aqueous phase is 1, and the activity can be represented by the molar fraction of all those species. Obviously, on the surface of the sorption site, the molar fraction of the sorbate M and the adsorbed water molecule, the sum of those two is equal to 1. So clearly, we can have this formula. Now, by doing simple algebra, we can derive this formula. That's the molar fraction of adsorbed M on the surface equal to a constant times the concentration of adsorbate in the aqueous phase divided by 1 plus a constant times the adsorbate concentration in aqueous phase. And so we know that the molar fraction of adsorbate is equal to the molar of the adsorbed M on the surface divided by the total molar of adsorption sites. So by doing simple algebra derivation, we clearly derive this equation, which shares the resemblance of the Langmuir equation. And now if we divide both sides by the mass of the adsorbent, so now we derived the Langmuir equation. So let's change the symbol to some formula symbol we used. So clearly we have derived the Langmuir equation. So this is just a simple example of how we can derive the Langmuir equation in aqueous system. It is given by Dr. Essington in his book. And next, I want to just share three examples about our research. So the first example we did is on arsenic adsorption to magnetite nanoparticles. So here is an example we show that the assumption we held in the Langmuir equation actually can be met with the actual experiment. So the Langmuir equation used in this case, in fact, carries some physical and mechanistical meaning. So in this study, we did arsenic adsorption. We know that arsenic contamination is a global problem. And we synthesized the magnetite nanoparticles, and we did the batch sorption experiment to study the thermodynamics of arsenic sorption by magnetite. Then we analyzed the arsenic adsorbed magnetite surface by several spectroscopic techniques. And so the particle we synthesized has an average size of about 30 nanometer, and they are identified as the a magnetite mineral by XRD. And the bonding mechanism of this arsenic, so we did arsenate and arsenite, And the binding mechanism were elucidated by the spectral spopic technique. We found that the arsenate was bonding with the magnetite surface through this C3 mechanism, and the arsenide, the arsenide is bonding the surfaces through C3. And so they are forming inner sphere surface complexes with the magnetite surface. So we think the assumption in the Langevin equation were actually met in this case. So we have a relatively homogeneous solid surface. It's a magnetite mineral. And we have one type of absorption sites for each either arsenate or arsenite. And the arsenic forms monolayer coverage by inner sphere complexation. And because of this inner sphere complexation, we don't think there's a lateral movement of absorbed arsenic. And we assume that there's no interaction among neighboring arsenic, and this is probably a safe assumption because it forms a strong inner sphere complexation, but we still do have a question mark on this. And because the majority of assumptions are met, and then once we fit the isothermal data with Langevin equation, then we can use a set of equations to estimate the average thermodynamics of this reaction. And so we can estimate the Gibbs free energy of absorption. We can estimate the change of the enthalpy through this Van't Hoff equation. They can also differentiate this equation with regards to 1 over T, so we can have this absorbed enthalpy change, of this reaction. So next I'm going to show you some example. So we did the absorption isotherm for several temperature. And then we fit the isothermal data with the Langevin equation. After going data with the previous equation I just showed, we found that the average enthalpy change is about 13.7 kilojoule per mole, and the change of the entropy is about 0.163 kilojoule per mole. The similar number for arsenate sorption on the magnetic surface. We also found a similar value for arsenite sorption. For the figure on the right, what you see is the observed enthalpy change as a function of the absorbed amount of arsenic on the surface. So basically, what you see here is with increasing the coverage of the absorbed arsenic, the change of entropy was increased, and so we think this is probably not because of the interaction among neighboring arsenic rather the absorbed arsenic influencing the incoming arsenic species from the solution phase and make them harder to stick to the surface. So basically what we found in this study is there's a positive enthalpy change in this arsenic sorption reaction, and the process is endothermic. So next, I want to move to the phosphor sorption soils. Carl just gave a wonderful talk about how to fit Langevin equation to the P sorption data. So here, I also want to present some work we did before on P sorption isotherm. So many agricultural soils are enriched with phosphorus. We know this absorbed phosphorus in soils, a fraction of it will participate in the P sorption processes. And so, again, so this is a familiar Langevin equation, although in different symbols. And in typical isothermal study, we calculate the absorbed amount by difference of the solution in the initial solution and the final solution. And the total absorption amount in the Langevin equation is S, and which is the sum of the this apparent absorption amount that's calculated from a batch absorption study, and this legacy P we call it S sub zero. So the S sub zero is unknown; it has to be determined. So there are a number of ways to do it. You can either do extraction or doing curve fitting procedure from isothermal data. So what we did is actually estimated from the isothermal data by curve fitting. So there's two methods of doing it. And one is we call a two-step method. Basically, you fit the isotherm data at a low concentration to a linear isotherm to get the S sub zero. And then you add this S sub 0 to S prime to get the S, and then you would fit the Langmuir equation to this new S sum data. The next method we call a one-step method. So essentially, we have a set of equation that can be written in this way. So the trick here is that we determine the aqueous phase concentration C sub 0 in a P-free initial solution that the soil was immersed in. So once you determine the C sub 0, and what you can find is S sub 0 can be represented by this equation. And then you can plug this back to the Langmuir equation to get this equation. So essentially, once you get the isothermal data from batch experiment, basically you can fit this equation and without worrying about how to determine S sub 0. And there's another parameter that has been used in the past. We call a equilibrium phosphorus concentration. So at an aqueous phase, that doesn't cause either P sorption or desorption. So this is the parameter that has been used to indicate how likely the soil is going to lose the phosphorus to solution. So in two-step method, the EPC sub zero equal to S sub zero divided by the distribution coefficient K. And in the one-step method, and then it's represented by this method. So we think these two methods can be useful in terms of fitting your isothermal data. So here in a study we did, we compare these two methods on the P-isotherm for two A P-enriched surface soils. We found these two methods gave a relatively good agreement in terms of the absorption parameter that was estimated. So finally, I want to talk about lincomycin sorption to biochar. And lincomycin is one type of antibiotics because antibiotics are considered emerging contaminants. So I want to give you a little bit more background on this. So antibiotic has been detected in soil, sediment, and waters. The proliferation of this antibiotics in the environment is because of overuse in human and animal agriculture. And so China and the U.S. are the two largest users of antibiotics, the majority of which are used in animal feeding operation, which then release into the environment. And once the antibiotic in the environment, they can exert the selection pressure on bacteria, develop antibiotic resistance. And if the current antibiotic resistance continue to develop at a current rate, it's estimated that by 2050, antibiotic resistance causes 10 million deaths each year, the majority of which will happen in Asia and Africa, although the Europe and America also has significant numbers. So as a soil and environmental scientist, what do we can do about this? And we're thinking about simple strategies, basically adding biochar to soil to reduce the transport and bioavailability of antibiotics. So biochar is a carbon-rich porous media. Our idea is if we add a biochar to soils because of the sorption of antibiotics with the biochar and the transport of antibiotics and also uptake by bacteria and plants can be reduced. And so clearly the sorption of antibiotics to biochar and also to soil is quite important in terms of developing this strategy. So here we show you some data. So we did a two-day sorption isothermal for biochar and for lincomycin at a 2 pH, pH 6 and pH 10. So what we found is the sorption of antibiotics to biochar was higher at a lower pH and then the sorption at a higher pH. And the sorption isotherm are better represented by the Langmuir equation represented by the solid line compared to the Fresnel equation represented by the dashed line here in this figure on the left. So we think this is because at a lower pH, lincomycin is a positive molecule, and at a higher pH, it's neutral form. And at a lower pH, the sorption is controlled by both non-electrostatic interaction and the electrostatic interaction. At a higher pH, we only have non-electrostatic interaction that's taking place. So that explains why the sorption is higher at a lower pH. So with that, I want to just summarize our work. And basically, the Langmuir equation is very useful in many applications, including homogeneous and heterogeneous adsorbent and organic and inorganic compounds. And we think this utility is because it's a theoretical empirical nature. So the below list some of a paper we published in the past. So with that, I would like to thank the funding agencies and our collaborators. Thank you.